All right. So we are going to be doing NTI Revelation chapter 10. And I am going to be talking very loud, I hope. Yeah. I got the little waves there showing me how loud I'm talking. All right. So I'm asked to read from the Bible. No, I'm not asked to read from the Bible. Not yet. So let's just read NTI. It's very short, chapter 10. This scripture is also meaningless, and we're going to read it in a moment, but I think we're supposed to read this first. This scripture, so NTI Revelation chapter 10, is also meaningless. To look for inherent meaning where there is none is to look outside yourself for all source of meaning. To look outside yourself is to deny what you are. The time for denial has ended. The time for acceptance is now. Now, inherent meaning would be meaning that's always, always, always there. It's there to everyone all the time. You know, so if I hold up a cup, you know, if we have a bunch of cups over there, if I was hold up a cup and say, what does this mean to you? It means that cup would mean the same thing to everyone. And that's probably not true. Some people might say that cup is too big, or that cup is too little, or that cup is too yellow, or that cup is too stained, or that cup is just right. You know, the cup would not have an inherent meaning. So this is saying that when we are looking for inherent meaning, we're really believing that meaning comes from outside of ourselves. If we truly understood that we give everything we see all the meaning it has for me, right, that comes from A Course in Miracles. If we truly understood that, we wouldn't even look for inherent meaning in anything. We might ask ourselves, what does that cup mean to me? But we would know that the meaning that we see is only mine, and we would know that other people may have a different meaning for the same cup. So what we tend to do without noticing it, it's kind of unconscious, is we believe things have inherent meaning. So like the book of Revelation, you know, of course now we know it doesn't because we've been learning that, but maybe at some point in our life we were looking at this thinking, my goodness, what does it mean? As if it had an inherent meaning. And that somebody could tell us what it meant. And what Holy Spirit is telling us is nobody can tell us what it means because nothing has an inherent meaning. So the only question to really ask is, what does it mean to me? Or another question we could possibly ask is, Holy Spirit, what meaning can this have now that's helpful to me? Right? And let Holy Spirit give it a meaning. But even when Holy Spirit gives it a meaning, the meaning Holy Spirit gives to it today for me, and the meaning Holy Spirit gives to the exact same scripture 5 years from now for me could be a different meaning, because I need a different meaning 5 years from now to point me toward truth. So again, the belief that a certain set of words or a cup or anything has an inherent meaning is a false belief. And that's the belief that we're being asked to let go of. So this scripture is also meaningless. To look for inherent meaning where there is none is to look outside yourself for the source of all meaning. To look outside yourself is to deny what you are. The time for denial has ended. The time for acceptance is now. Trust yourself. Seek only that which is truly helpful. And ask for the interpretation of Revelation chapter 10 that would be given to you now. So what we're going to do, and I'll read it pretty slowly, what we're going to do is we're going to look at regular Revelation chapter 10. We're going to listen. And this would be easier for you guys if you had a Bible in front of you and had some time. This is going to be kind of a false experiment because I'm reading to you and we don't have time to contemplate it, but at the very least, what I can do is I can share the meaning that I see in it today. I've read it a few times, and I've seen different meanings on different days. But see if you can just listen and see if you hear anything. In fact, maybe I'll just pause every now and then and say, does anybody hear anything? Yes, so that you don't have to hold on to it. Okay? Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was robed in a cloud with a rainbow above his head. His face was like the sun, and his legs were like fiery pillars. He was holding a little scroll, which lay open in his hand. He planted his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and he gave a loud shout like the roar of a lion. When he shouted, the voices of the seven thunders spoke. And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write. But I heard a voice from heaven say, "Seal up what the seven thunders have said, and do not write it down." Now, does anybody have any meaning that just kind of came to them without thinking about it? Okay, no. Okay, I'll tell you the meaning that came to me. As soon as I heard, "Seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down." Again, the meaning that came to me is that whatever meaning is about to come out of Revelation chapter 10, it is just for me now. So it's not something that I should write down and tell people, this is what Revelation chapter 10 means. You know, I shouldn't try and give it an inherent meaning because it doesn't have an inherent meaning. I'm not to write it down. I'm not to seal it in concrete. I'm just to listen loosely. Let it have whatever meaning it has today without attaching the meaning to these words. Does that make sense? Yeah. All right, so let's continue. Then the angel I had seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven. And he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them, the earth and all that is in it, and the sea and all that is in it. And he said, "There will be no more delay. But in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants, the prophets." Okay, anybody hear a meaning in that for you? Probably easier for me because I'm the one looking at the words. But what I heard was very personal and very direct. So I would say I heard something that to me is real in this moment. What I heard very loudly was, there will be no more delay. What I heard was a request for me to make a deeper, firmer, once again, a deeper, firmer commitment to my spiritual path, to my spiritual practice, right? Just there will be no more delay, no more lollygagging, no more dragging your feet. You know, just step in this all the way, and the mystery of God will be accomplished just as he announced to his servants the prophets. You see, if I will have no more delay, then the mystery of God will be accomplished. All right, so let's read the next paragraph. Then the voice that I had heard from heaven spoke to me once more. "Go, take the scroll that lies open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land." So all that says to me is something else is now going to be revealed, right? If you're taking the scroll, something else is going to be shared, and I'm assuming it's going to come from the next paragraph. So I went to the angel and asked him to give me the little scroll. He said to me, "Take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will be as sweet as honey." I took the little scroll from the angel's hand and ate it. It tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach turned sour. Then I was told, "You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings." So, what I heard in this, again, very, very personal. so personal, I'm hesitating to say it. What I heard in this is that, you know, as I enter into this increased, again, once again, increased commitment. You know, at first there's going to be great excitement, great love. Then there's going to be great resistance. But then what's going to come out of that is something else to share. There's going to be more sharing happening. So I'm to make this commitment. Expect that it will be very sweet in the beginning. I'll be very excited. Expect the resistance will rise like it always does. And expect that there will be something else to share that comes from it. So that's what I heard today. Now, I've read this other days and have heard different things. So this is one of the things that Holy Spirit wants us to realize, and realize it very deeply, that nothing has inherent meaning. So like when we are reading, let's say, A Course in Miracles, or we're reading your lovely book, what's that book that you read with all the mystics in it?
Love Poems from God.
Love Poems from God. These things do not have one meaning.
Yeah,
sometimes
every
time you read it, it has a different meaning. See, sometimes people will try and say, oh, this is what it means, and then teach that concrete meaning. What Holy Spirit is telling us is, no, nothing has an inherent meaning. Nothing has a concrete meaning. If you sit down and you read with me, I will always give you the meaning that you need today. And you can read the exact same thing on another day, and it's going to mean something different. And that's the way it is to be. And that's important because, you know, that little voice in our head, I call it the I am bad thought, likes to tell us if we can't figure out an inherent meaning and keep it in concrete, that we're stupid or we're, right, we don't get it. And Spirit's saying nothing has an inherent meaning. I'm always going to talk to you in the present, and I'm going to give you exactly what you need today. And if somebody else, if we had all taken the time to read 10 and really contemplate it, you know, let's say we had taken a week with it, and we each brought back, this is what it meant to me, we wouldn't have the same meaning. And that's okay. Because you know what? We're not in the same place. We're not supposed to get the same thing from Spirit. So we want to let go of this false belief that there's an inherent meaning in things, because that false belief keeps us from being open to receiving the guidance that we are to receive right now. All right? So let me return to NTI. We'll look at NTI chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. NTI, Revelation chapter 11. And the first thing I'm asked to do is to read from the Bible again. So I'm going to read Revelation 11, 1 to 10. I was given a reed like a measuring rod and was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar and count the worshipers there. But exclude the outer court. Do not measure it, because it has been given to the Gentiles. They will trample on the holy city for 42 months, and I will give power to my two witnesses. And they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. If anyone tries to harm them, fire comes from their mouths and devours their enemies. This is how anyone who wants to harm them must die. These men have power to shut up the sky so that it will not rain during the time they are prophesying. And they have power to turn the waters into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want. Did I read enough or do I need more? I need a little more. Now, when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up from the abyss will attack them and overpower and kill them. Their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. For 3.5 days, men from every people, tribe, language, and nation will gaze on their bodies and refuse them burial. The inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them and will celebrate by sending each other gifts, because these two prophets had tormented those who live on earth. All right, let's see what meaning Holy Spirit is giving to that in NTI. The measuring rod represents the measure of your desires. And this starts off, Revelation started off, I was given a reed like a measuring rod and was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar and count the worshipers there. So the measuring rod represents the measure of your desires. The temple and its worshipers represent the desires at the core of the heart. The outer court represents the world, which is only distraction. And it says here, exclude the outer court, right? So we're only looking in our heart, and we're going to take a measuring rod, and we're going to measure what we find in our heart. One moment, I need a drink. Sit quietly with yourself and enter into the inner chamber of your heart. Take the measuring rod. Take note of the worshipers and measure the desire as you find it there. Do not deny that resistance still worships at the inner chamber of the heart. Take note of the worshipers as you find them. But use the measuring rod to see which desire leads you now. So I think the easiest way to do this is to see only two worshipers inside the heart. One worshiper is the desire for truth, or the desire for awakening, the desire to know thyself. And the other worshiper is the resistance to that. So what we're really asked to do, and this is something that if you want to do, you'll have to do on your own. But what we're really asked to do is to go within deeply, contemplatively, and look and see which is stronger. Measure them. Is my resistance stronger than my true desire? Or is my true desire stronger than my resistance? And there's no guilt in this, by the way. You know, it's not like there's a right answer. If you should happen to go in and say, you know what, my resistance is still stronger than my true desire, I can feel it, I know it's true, then you know where you stand. And then what you can do is begin to do whatever practices are helpful to you to increase your true desire, right? But if you don't take the time to look and to see where you're at, then you also don't address it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So we're asked to go within, look in our heart, be honest about the worshipers we find there. Be honest. Don't say, oh, all I want is God. That's probably bullshit for every one of us, right? Every one of us still has resistance. In fact, the personal message I just got in Revelation 10 told me to expect resistance, right? So that means it's still there. So the go within and look and see. And you know, if I was to do an inventory now, probably the way that I would do it is I would see, how is my resistance still showing up in my daily life? You know, for example, now I'm not doing this, fortunately, but the shift has only been about a month old. But like I'm now meditating in the mornings. I've never meditated before. Am I getting up in the morning and doing this, doing dishes, and then this, and then this, and then this before I finally sit down and meditate? Or am I getting up and as soon as I know I'm sufficiently awake, going directly into meditation? You know, where are my priorities? Is my resistance still stronger? And then looking at that and then deciding, okay, do I want to do something about that? And if so, what can I do about that? So, again, that's something we each have to do on our own. Maybe that will even be our assignment, to go and really have a strong, honest look at our true desire and our resistance and see where we lie. We'll see where else we get. But that's what we're being asked to do here, is to have a peek. So starting with 10, it is the true desire that rises up in joy within the heart. Greet your true desire within the heart. In joy, join with it there. So it is telling us that our true desire is our joy. When we look at the resistance, we're not going to find joy, right? And we know that. So when you see the joy, one way that you can help to increase the true desire is joining it in joy. Or what it says earlier in NTI is to have gratitude for it. That's one way that you can increase it. Now the two witnesses, it's referring to the two witnesses here. And I don't know if you remember, but when I was reading, these two witnesses are prophesying for 1,260 days. But the earth, and the earth represents resistance. Okay, the earth represents resistance here. The earth hates them. And in Revelation, the earth kills them. The resistance kills these two witnesses. And then resistance refuses to bury them, just leaves them out for the birds or whatever. So the resistance in Revelation, in the Bible, wins. Mm-hmm. All right? Let's listen to what Holy Spirit has to say about that. The two witnesses represent the joint will of the Holy Spirit and the Son of God. This is true desire picked up and merged with the one who desires it above all else. So in the previous two lines, we were told that true desire is the joy in the heart, and we were asked to join with it there. When we do that, when we have gratitude for our true desire, when we join in joy with our true desire, that creates the power of the two witnesses. You see, it's our love for the true desire combined with the true desire. That makes the two witnesses. So the two witnesses represent the joint will of the Holy Spirit and the Son of God. This is true desire picked up and merged with the one who desires it above all else. No will can overcome that of true desire, because any other will is the false will of illusion. Illusion cannot stand up against truth. So it is illusion that must crumble and die. So here, Holy Spirit is saying, the way it's written in Revelation is not true. That shall not happen. Your true desire is most definitely stronger than your resistance. And so really encouraging us to join with our true desire, right? The problem is, most people actually join with their resistance. They believe their resistance. So if their mind is saying, you know, for example, I don't want to meditate, I don't like to meditate, meditation's too hard, they join with that. And that seems to create a very strong power. Holy Spirit's saying, just don't join with your resistance. Don't do that instead. Join with your true desire, you know, because what you join with is going to have an incredible, incredible power. Sentence 17 says, there may be a time that the joint will seems overcome by the beast of guilt and fear, but this is only an illusion within an illusory battle. It is the joint will that has called forth the beast so that the beast may be coaxed out of hiding. So this again is talking about purification. If I really, really join with my true desire and I really, really want awakening and this incredible power occurs, well, then one of the things that incredible power is going to do is to call out everything that needs to be let go of, right? And so some of that other stuff is going to show up and it's going to seem pretty ferocious at once, you know, and sometimes you may even temporarily feel like, oh my God, you know, I don't have any willingness anymore. I just feel guilty or whatever, you know. This is saying, no, this is your willingness working. Your willingness is calling this up, so that you can rest, accept, and trust with it and let it leave you forever. So even though it appears dark, it may appear like your two witnesses were killed and left in the street to die, but that's not happening. You know, that's not what's happening. What's happening is healing. So just remember what's going on, okay? Verses 11 to 12. It is the joint will that gives breath to itself. In this way, it cannot die. For that which gives life at will may call upon life, and life will come to rescue it from a seemingly dark grave. So even if it seems dead and left in the streets, it will be rebirthed. Don't worry about that. It is life itself, right? So don't worry. Remember this. It is your true desire, recognized as true desire by you, that will see you through the darkness found within the recesses of the mind. I'm going to stop there. So what this is saying is, if you still think, and these are, by the way, just thoughts, if you still think, oh my God, I don't want to face the darkness that's in me. I don't want to face this purification. I know that I really am guilty. I don't want to look at that guilt because it's probably going to kill me. If you think those thoughts, you know, you're not gonna go through the purification process. Your own thinking is holding you back. So what this is really saying is, instead of thinking that way, think with your willingness, think with your true desire. I do want to be free. I am willing to look at the dark beliefs in my mind. I am willing to see that they're not true. I do trust that they're not true. And, you know, so whenever you talk to yourself, self-talk, Let that self-talk come from your true desire, not from your resistance. And start paying attention, because most people, when we talk to ourselves, we just think it's me talking to myself. You know, this is what I think, this is what I feel. We don't really look at it as it's either my willingness talking or my resistance talking. Right? So start looking at it that way. Is this my willingness talking right now? Or is this my resistance talking right now? There's no me. Right? There's no me. It's either resistance or willingness. Which one is it? And look at your mind that way. And so when it starts telling you, I can't do this, I can't handle it, I'm definitely guilty, if I go in there, I'm going to die, I'll never wake up, whatever it says, say, you know what, that's resistance talking. I'm not going to join with my resistance. I'm not going to empower my resistance, because you know what? That's not what I really want. I really want my true desire. I'm going to join with it. That is my what we call my true desire is my true desire. That's not just words. That's what I really want. So I'm going to put my attention on that side. I'm going to give my attention there, and I'm going to disregard this resistance stuff because that's not my truth. Recognize your truth, right? Recognize your truth. So remember this. It is your true desire, recognized as true desire by you, that will see you through the darkness found within the recesses of the mind. If the darkness seems to be too much to bear, call upon yourself and your true desire. You shall be lifted up from the darkness into the light that shines from within your own true desire. So pray. Ask for help. Ask for strength. Ask for another way to see, or ask, you know, what am I to do now? You know, maybe it will come to you need to journal or take a walk or, you know, but don't be afraid to ask. If it starts feeling like it's getting too heavy and you're starting to feel alone and like I can't do this, ask. Right? Don't forget to ask. Verses 13 and 14. Do not stop looking. Will that healing continues. The darkness is being healed by the light you carry with you. So again, be willing for the darkness to just keep coming up. And like I said, my experience was it would come up for a couple of months, then I'd get a break for a couple of months, then it would come up for a couple of months, then I would get a break for a couple of months. So you could say, Grace knows how much you can handle. You can just decide to trust Grace, or Holy Spirit, or Jesus, or whatever you want to call it. Let Grace call the shot on how much darkness you can handle. And then trust Grace rather than letting resistance say, I can't handle this, right? Trust Grace. Rest the mind and reclaim your trust. In trust and true desire, you move forward for the healing of the mind. So again, I would say pray. And when you pray, pray with your true desire. Remember what you want. You know, say, I know why this is hot here. This is here because I want to heal. I'm grateful this is here. You know, Holy Spirit or Jesus or whoever, you know, help me through this. I don't know how to heal. Please guide me. Show me what to do, you know. And again, what your part is so small, your part is usually just what I call rest, accept, and trust. There's not much for you to do, but kind of stay out of the way, right? And let the healing happen. Verses 16 to 18. This is a time for gratitude and rejoicing. The mind is being healed of that which is false. And the light that has shined forever is shining brightly now to be seen. Try to remember that too when the darkness comes up. Be grateful. I'm so grateful this darkness is coming up, so that I can be healed. What I truly want is to be healed. I will do my utmost best to stay out of the way. This is not a personal story. I do not believe any personal stories about this stuff that's coming up. It's just gunk. It's just gunk that's been repressed and believed far too long. And I am ready to be free now. I am so grateful that this day has come. It may appear dark, but this is light, and I'm grateful. See, that's what helps you. Those kind of prayers. Right? And then 19. In gladness and true desire, the Son of God prepares to welcome himself in joy. So So it told us earlier in Revelation 11, it told us that to join with our true desire, it said the true desire rises up in joy in the heart. In joy, join with it there. It then told us that the two witnesses represent the joint will of the Holy Spirit and the Son of God. We're the Son of God when we join with it. And then it also told us, let's see, somewhere else. It said, your true desire, recognized as your true desire by you, will see you through the darkness. It seems like what this entire chapter is reminding us is to keep reminding ourselves how much we want this. Keep reminding ourselves that our true desire is to awaken, to heal, to be clear, and not to forget to keep reminding ourselves. And of course, don't join with the resistance. The resistance may show up, but that's not our true desire. We have to remember that, right? The resistance isn't speaking our truth. So with that said, we need an assignment. And again, one assignment we could do is just pay attention this week and try to get an idea of how strong our resistance is, where our resistance still shows up, how strong our true desire is, where we see it showing up. Is there anything we need to do to increase our true desire? So that's one thing we could do. Did anybody hear anything else?
What's helpful right now for me is to remember that sometimes I think I'm doing it alone.
Through the prayer.
To remember through prayer that I can't do it, actually, but Holy Spirit definitely can.
So that could be another possible assignment, depending on how much we all pray. We could have an assignment to pray more this week, ask more for whatever we feel to ask for, whether it's more help, more guidance, more clarity. So what do you guys want to do as the assignment? Or do you want to let people just pick?
What was the first one?
The first one is spend the week noticing where your resistance is.
Yeah, that's... Okay, I'm going to pick that.
Okay, so what I'll do is I'll just give both assignments. I'll write both assignments when I post it, and people can pick the one that feels like the one they need to do. So either pray more, asking for whatever it is you need to ask for, or watch this week and see where your resistance is and where your true desire is, and see if you notice anything that you can do to tweak it more in favor of true desire. Okay?